Welcome to Tour Punisher.
I'm Ryan Soley.
And I'm Noah Dunham. And we are very excited to have any of you listeners who have come back from episodes one or two for our third episode, where we are going to be interviewing the Builders and the Butchers, who, if you guys didn't know, you probably do if you listen to episodes one and two. Two of those members of that band are the ones who came up with the idea for this very podcast.
Essentially, this is us being very, very lazy.
Pretty lazy, pretty self-caressing,
yes.
The ego.
Oh, stroking. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, at the same time, some of the stories that come out in this episode, very horrific. Very disgusting. You guys don't make me feel super jealous about doing this whole touring thing that you guys have done.
It is a fucking shit show.
So let's get to it.
Right in there.
Builders of the Butchers, episode 3. You're listening to Tour Punisher.
The salt to their pepper food or their joke food.
Great.
Yeah.
That'll be good. You need more of that in your life.
I need a lot more salt. Salt to my pepper food.
On your pepper food. Pepper food.
Oh, man. You just gave me a flashback of, like, the most embarrassing cooking night that I've had in a while when I was trying to make a soup that I had already bragged was, like, the best, like, homemade recipe that I had where I, like, had it memorized and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I go to, like, pour in the pepper, and I didn't have it on sift. I had it on pour.
On dump.
And it just was like, cool. Fuck, this is 2 hours of work. Like, right down the drain. Like, there's nothing I can do at this point. With soup. Like
you can't
take
that out.
With
other
foods, you could maybe be like, okay, so that one breast of chicken, I'll just throw that out because mostly covered. But no, with soup, it just immediately got absorbed into it. It was disgusting.
You should have just...
Did you eat it anyway?
I tried it.
Okay.
I scooped as much as I could and then stirred and then, like, let it go for a little while. And then, like, in a half an hour is, like, when I was really, like... I should probably tell my guest that the soup is fucked. And I was like, you want to try it? And we were just both were like,
what?
If
was
we
it
had like maybe 2 cans of coconut milk, we could have like cut it, but we didn't have that.
If I had a dime for every time I said that.
You ever over sriracha your pho?
Oh yeah, I did that tonight.
Really?
I just did that.
God, there's nothing worse than that.
Wait,
in the
do
world.
You do sriracha like in? Do you do it in the bowl?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, dude, I do every single sriracha bite's different, so I add it to the spoon.
Shit.
Oh,
it's
man.
A lot of work.
So you're a lot of work.
You're building like a thousand tiny little bowls of pho.
Exactly. That's how I rock.
Perfectly proportioned.
That's how I rock the pho. Like, oh, maybe I'm just gonna do a little bit more hoisin sauce on this.
Do you do that with the hoisin sauce too?
Yeah.
That shit's so good.
Has anybody ever pronounce that correctly?
I have no idea. I don't know how.
You know what?
I think it's horsey sauce.
Horsey sauce.
So this is food talk with the Builders and Butchers.
Yeah. So we'll probably just dive in here.
We were recording.
We are recording.
We'll probably use all that.
Definitely.
We can use some of it at some point.
Keep that in.
I can say I'm the only person in the band who's played literally every instrument live.
That's true.
Including the vocal cords.
It's true.
And how. I once got the swine flu in our first trip to Europe when the swine flu was a thing.
Wait, no, it was H1N1.
Isn't that the
same
thing?
That
is
the same thing,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is the same thing.
But H1N1 is more PC because pigs were like, dude, come on. Yeah. A flu? I don't think so. So yeah, I had to leave the tour, but everybody else, it was our first trip to Europe.
We're
not leaving this tour. Yeah, really. So it continued with Harvey as the lead singer.
Yeah.
And then
no way.
Guys from Portugal, the man who we were opening for, kind of filling in on other instruments to make it a set. And they got a half an hour set down, and I flew back to America, and they continued
the
tour.
What year was this?
It was our first
2009, 2007?
It's 8 or 9.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Was that your first? So that was your first
very
European
first time
tour.
To Germany.
To Europe.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I remember sitting in that dressing room, and you were kind of like, I can't do this. And I'm just like, fuck you, I'm doing this.
Well, there was a transitional show. I remember there was one show where your voice was gone because you were sick.
And, oh, but you tried.
And you were like, Harvey, can you sing and I'll play guitar?
Yeah.
And so we tried one show where Ryan played guitar and didn't sing. And I remember you had like a scarf wrapped around your neck.
Yeah.
You looked so miserable.
Or like I was in Oasis.
Yeah. It looked really fashionable, but I knew that it was. It was like a blanket, like a polio blanket for your neck.
So how many dates did you fill in, Harvey?
Oh, shit. Ooh. It was like
most of them.
It was like a 2 week.
You were gone after how many?
I sang 2 shows.
Yeah.
Just 2.
Yeah.
And then I played guitar for 1.
Yeah.
And Harvey probably did 8 or 9.
Yeah. Wow. So you flew home. Mm-hmm. Harvey was the hero of that tour.
Harvey was.
He really was.
What was the crippling depression like when you were home? It was
your 48 hour trip to Germany.
Yeah, it was horrific. I was so sick that I wasn't depressed. I was just the sickest. It was the kind of sick where you're like, I can see how someone living in a third world country could easily die from this.
Oh yeah, sure.
Where you're like, you know, you're like, I'm not gonna die, but I could totally, like, the wrong thing happens.
If there was no hospital or nowhere to go,
no warmth and no blankets, I totally. But the great thing was the next time that we came back over, Harvey, we were same band, and several people came up to me and they're like, yes, I thought the show was okay, but I really like the bearded guy singing better.
Yeah. That did happen on multiple occasions. And I actually ended up getting what Ryan got at the end of tour that the last 2 shows, every time I would sing, I would dry heave.
Oh, God.
So I was on stage, and I was trying to rock, but I'm going, man. And then it was the absolute worst plane ride home. And I quit smoking after that because I literally couldn't smoke.
Well, look.
Wow.
Look what I gave you.
Silver lining.
Yeah, really. Wow.
Yeah,
silver linings all over the place. I mean,
cannot believe it.
It wasn't my last cigarette, but, you know, of course.
Yeah. But considering I was thinking that, you know, if you have 8 to 9 glorious shows in Europe replacing the lead singer, I mean, that's like, that is, you know, ripe for the picking for like a rock and roll musical drama.
Yeah.
And then
plot line.
I'm almost done with it.
And then we get big and I'm like, but I
but
me
I,
but
me
I like we actually don't want you in the band anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got swine flu too, but I'm the one who hooked up with the doctor.
That's right.
That was Harvey's chance. Step up.
That was my chance to step up. Finally leave this damn country and start anew.
Hoping to get discovered. Was that the tour you stole the blanket from the hotel?
Yeah.
And they freaked out and they called up Ian, who was tour managing for PTM, and was like, you have to return the blanket. We're like, we're like 5 hours away. And they're like, well, you have to mail it to us. And so didn't we like ship it back?
We should. So here's the thing.
Like, they didn't just charge you for the blanket?
No, that's the question. They needed the blanket.
I would have gladly paid them money. Here's the problem.
Because you were sick in the RV. You needed a blanket.
The RV, we had an RV.
Probably had chills, right?
It was the first tour that we'd ever done to Europe. And so we had this guy at this company where he's like, I will rent you RV, which is a self-contained.
It's from Transylvania.
Czech Republic, Transylvania.
I will rent you.
Nope. Although I'm going to just make you do impressions
just,
for the rest of the night.
Yeah. At the end, just edit them all together. I want to offend everybody so that nobody's left out.
Yeah.
He had a cool idea, which is like, hey, I'll rent you a RV for this, you know, your European tour, and then you don't have to pay for hotels. You know where you're going to stay every night. Where you're staying is at the venue. And so it's in a lot of ways a great idea if everyone's healthy. It's a really great idea. But the blankets that came with the RV were like
just crap.
The most paper thin, like just like not even a blanket. It's just like a thick sheet. And I was like shivering, and we went to this hotel, and I was like, I don't care. I need a blanket. I'm stealing this blanket. And I was like, and if they say something, I'll pay for it out of our money later. I just need to steal this blanket now. And so I just stuffed it in my backpack and stole it. And then immediately, because it's Germany, they're like, You stole the blanket.
He's gold it.
You're like, oh, it's okay. We'll just pay for it. And they're like, no, you have to send the blanket back. Like, yeah, we need that blanket.
It really tied the room together.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, you are on air with the Builders and the Butchers. You know, considering we have the on-air sign on, so that's a little switch that I flipped. That means we could be broadcasting, or we could not. Just to add a little extra pressure in the room.
Does it really?
No, I wish.
Is it on pod?
Just so nobody comes in here.
Yeah. You're on pod with the Builders and the Butchers right
live.
Now.
Live on tape.
But it'd be good to say we're live, so that if it's shitty, it doesn't a good excuse.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll just every once in a while I'll remind us that we're live.
Okay.
On pod. not on pot. Mom, if you're listening while we're recording this live on pod. Mm-hmm. So welcome to Tour Punisher, you guys. Two of you know the show well. One of you do not. Maybe we can do a quick round of...
I thought you were talking to the audience.
I think you still are.
Studio audience.
Hey, you three audience members. Two of you know the show really well.
Our subscribers list.
One of you. One of you.
Secret guest. Let's bring them on out.
Hey, Rick, you said your name was from the parking lot? Come on in here, bud.
Hey, yo, I'm the guest on the show. Why would he say that?
I don't know.
But I thought maybe we could go around for, you know, any of the three audience members that we have who might not know you, who you are, and maybe what you do in the band.
I'm Ryan, and I sing in the band and play guitar in the band and do other things.
What's your last name?
Soli. Ryan Soli.
Got it.
This is the portion when, like, when people interview you for other things, like those internet things, press things. They're always like, "So, what do you play? Can you just state your name, say what you play?" And then everyone just clams up and goes, "I'm shit.
What do I play again? Fucking,
my name is Ray. I play a drum.
I just farted."
I don't know what it is. It's something. There's some kind of.
There's certain questions that cause people to just.
Yeah, it's the formality of them. For some reason, I think for like fact checking or something like that, if you are working for like a publication or a media, you know, conglomerate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Big media.
If you're working for big media, you know what I mean?
Not this.
That you
tiny
have to like
media
you have to like say you for the record or whatever, you have to have your full name like stated at some point.
Okay.
I don't know why.
What?
It's a thing.
Yeah. I think that's a thing.
That's not a thing for this thing.
Not for this thing.
But
not on pod. It doesn't matter on pod.
But on
if this goes big, baby, we want to be doing it professional.
Yeah,
see?
That's right.
See?
Okay, so.
Like, oh, we couldn't use it. You didn't state your full name. I'm sorry. Here's millions of dollars. Let me take that away
from
you.
Steven Spielberg wanted to pick up us as his first podcast.
Yeah.
And he's like,
can't do it. I don't know.
I don't know his real name.
I don't know that Ray guy's name. It could be anybody. Ray Gunn. Ray Mood.
Yeah. Ray,
and then
Ray
you're like, what the fuck was E.T.'s name, bitch? Nobody knows.
I think Steven Spielberg probably knows.
Did you say E.T.?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his real name?
Edward Terrestrial.
All right, that's getting the first vote of the dumbest joke of the night.
All
right. Right there.
Okay. I should put
first
that down.
Vote. Write
hey,
that down.
I'm here now, though, so dumb jokes.
I mean, that's the first vote. I don't think it's going to be the last.
We've got to rewind the pod.
Let me pick all of them.
Rewind the pod real quick.
My name's Ryan.
Anyways.
I play guitar, do impressions.
So, Harvey, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm Harvey.
I'm Harvey Tumbleson, and I have played all the things. Live, I do banjo and mandolin and guitar. And, used to be banjo, mandolin, guitar, and then slide guitar. I don't know, man. If it's got strings, I'm going to tinker with it.
Yeah, you guys have played a lot of instruments collectively together.
Not me.
Not you. Yeah, you're kind of one horse.
Yeah.
Really one trick horse? Nope.
One trick pony.
Yep, there you go.
I think it's horse.
Yeah, one trick horse.
And it's
you're
not,
one trick horse.
And it's not very tricky.
You're not as cute as a pony.
Thanks.
I remember in our second album, me and Paul had a contest to see how many instruments we could get onto the album. He ended up winning because he played trumpet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's
wait, I think you and
bitch.
I tied on credits for the last record for instruments.
Last record, probably. I played bass on the last record.
But you also played guitar and
banjo and mandolin and bouzouki and I don't know.
I wish I had one of those. I think we tied. I remember looking at it like, what? I played as many things as Harvey played. There's no way.
You know, there's a machine that can easily.
I didn't
settle
sing
this
on the. I didn't sing on the last record though. Yeah, that was the first one.
The Wonderment Killer.
I think
the Wonder Killer.
Also known the internet.
The internet, aka the Wonder Killer. Hey, I wonder what. No.
Nope.
You know, I've stopped doing that.
Good.
I have stopped trying to do that.
I just walk
as well.
Away.
My phone doesn't
work
anymore.
I wonder who that guy was. Maybe I'll think of it later.
I love having.
Only thing I like to do it around about anymore is like contact information or like addresses.
Yeah.
Right. It's
yeah,
like
addresses.
It's like somebody being like, I think it's on this street. I'm like, no, it's on this street. We have to. Sorry, we have to. We're going there. We do literally have to.
No, we're going to ask that guy over there.
I love having an argument that can just be like an argument for years. Like you and your friend, because you have something to joke about.
Dude, I had a roommate.
Yeah.
He would get very high and just fight. And like if we had Google at the time, we would like, it would have been just over. Or like we would have week long fights. Be like, no, dude, that actress was not in that movie, idiot.
But that fight was the foundation of your friendship.
Yeah, it was character building.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, and it just changes everything.
Well, yeah, I guess we would have been a pretty boring couple.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It would have been fun.
You know what year, month, maybe even to the day was the band formed?
Yeah.
I remember our first show was on Halloween. That's how I remember that.
Halloween of 2005.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how long.
Party, my house.
Your
house. At the time.
Nice.
Also, met my wife at that show.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. It worked once for me.
Been to a lot of parties.
Being in a band and at a party worked once for me.
And it was your first show, too, so you were really, I mean, that's, you were kind of stacking the deck for yourself there, my friend.
I was dressed in a, you know when you can't think of the name of things?
Masonic robe.
Thank you.
I remember.
Sorry.
Very specific.
Yeah. My friend and roommate at the time was a bins picker, and he found me a Masonic, like, you're not supposed to be wearing this.
So for anybody who's not from Portland, they probably have this in other Goodwills.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Anybody who doesn't know about this, the bins, we, for the most part, refer to it affectionately in Portland, is this basically like the outlet of Goodwill. And if you can't imagine that, if it's as mind-blowing and maybe kind of as gross as you're thinking it is.
It's gross.
It's fucking human. Gross. It's like human depravity.
It's basically everything that doesn't make it into the outlet stores of the Goodwill. It goes into this one massive warehouse where people literally wear plastic gloves and
masks,
like breathing masks, to go through the stuff.
I've never worn plastic gloves or a mask.
Wait,
and I'm sick.
I thought that's where all the stuff goes first before.
Yeah,
it goes
that's
to
what
the
I thought.
Donation.
Oh, is it first?
I thought it went there first
because that's why you can get the good stuff, and then they whatever doesn't get sent to
I've gotten some stuff there that's
send
not
us an email.
Second rate.
Man,
like, it's pretty cool.
I mean, it needed a good wipe down, but
yeah, well,
maybe, yeah. Oh, that's funny. I always thought it was the leftover. I thought it was leftovers.
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not sure either, but I always just assumed it was like.
Hey, everybody, send us an email.
Yeah. Tweet at us
tweet
if you
us.
Know about the answer
once we
to
get,
this question.
Once we get Twitter, it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, look up the answer on Google.
Hit like.
Yeah, and then tweet at
and
us.
And then hit tweet at us what it is. I'm not going to look it up. I want to wonder about it.
Yeah, so.
You want me to Google it for you?
No.
Let's crowdsource this.
Oh, my
right,
God.
Right, guys? Hit like.
You can go to my GoFundMe site and fund my day of finding out when I go. And
if you can't find
but
that,
I'm gonna
just
need to get paid for it.
Hit up our Indiegogo.
But, okay, so anyways.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
And that's where
roommate, I think the thread was.
And that's where he got the costume.
Yeah, exactly. I think the thread was your roommate at the time was a real bin head.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Dude, are you sure you're not a dad?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
Gross. Because of unprotected sex.
That's the name of the game.
Because they might be out there.
So, real quick, though, you got to know about us. We sidetrack really.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Clearly,
I know.
Okay.
That's why I'm trying to get back to Halloween night.
Halloween night, we played this show. We actually played three shows that weekend. We played at a We played that show. We played outside a Bob Log the Third show at Sabala's on the street. And during that show, a dude walking down the street with an upright bass walked up and just started playing with us.
That was dope.
That was amazing.
That was amazing.
That would never happen now.
Right, because Portland isn't as weird as it used to be.
It started raining, and we went in that little
bus
enclosure and we played, and it was awesome.
Yeah. And then the other show that weekend was, I don't think that you were there, Harvey. I don't remember whose house it was, but it was a house show. It was me, Ray, Paul, and like Alex, I think.
Yeah.
And at that show, we played that show. And it was fun. And then I went to a house party with my coworkers because I was a fish biologist at the time. And I was dressed for Halloween as a rhinoceros because my name is Ryan. So I had this
Oh, shit.
So I had this plastic horn. Like I had the two horns on my head, like wrapped plastic with duct tape. And I had like a gray sweatsuit on and like all gray duct tape. And my boss at the time was dressed as a scary priest. And he was at the party, and he had just gotten to the party, and he was like, Ryan, I'm going to get you. And he runs at me, and as a defense mechanism, I put my head down, and I stabbed him in the fucking eye with my horn and cut his like face open, and he had to go to the hospital and get stitches.
Oh, my God.
That was my Halloween, anyway.
Wow. Well, you fuck with the bull, you get the horn.
That's how that saying goes.
That's how that started.
10-4.
But yeah, so.
And that was our big weekend. Met my wife, stabbed my boss, started a band. That was my experience.
It's like a four trick horse.
It's like a four trick horse. It's like a four trick horse. It's like a four trick horse.
So then. What came of that?
I'm desperately looking for those callbacks. Jeez,
no, somebody.
I dug it.
Come on.
So what came of that? Was that just you guys saying, hey, we like playing music together, or we have this collection of songs? Were you practicing? Was the goal to do an album? Was the goal to
start touring? We were just kind of busking and playing parties for fun. And we didn't have a name for a long time. We were just called the Funeral Band. And we just wanted to make kind of dark, weird songs. And that's when Adrian was playing with us. Yeah, played accordion. Yeah.
We had an accordion going on and made it just a
little more dirgy.
Little hint of creepy.
Our idea was to kind of go places and find people and then play songs in like public spaces.
Yeah. We played at like in front of the Paris. We played inside of Voodoo Donuts. Like we were just all over the place.
We'd get kicked out places a lot. Yeah, those were like some of the funnest little times because you go in expecting nothing. And so if anything happens, it's like amazing.
Yeah, it was very magical.
Well, it's funny too because we all had up to that point played in bands that had played on hundreds of stages and done that thing.
Right.
And it's weird to me that like this band, it was awkward transitioning to stages. We were all knew how to do that, but like the band itself as like a unit wasn't like natural. It was very like for a good year. It was like weird. We were like, it was like it felt like kind of like the idea of the band was fighting the stage thing. So we'd like, okay, well we'll do this, but it's going to sound shitty and I don't care or whatever. Or we'll put up mic here. We didn't want it to necessarily sound good. Cause we wanted to have the same vibe as like a floor band or like a
a handful of solid shows, no mics or amps.
A lot in clubs on the floor.
Oh, like Valentine's.
Yeah, like Valentine's.
Yeah. We would just play and Ryan would just
Mississippi Pizza.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like Ryan would just scream as loud as he could, and we would play.
Yeah.
So we were still doing that. As we recorded our first album, we still hadn't played like a real plugged in show as we were recording our first album. So like we had played a show at this place called the Artistary.
I remember that place, the Artistary. On Division, right?
On Division. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Division.
It was all ages, right?
Yeah. It was like it was a cool thing. And we played a show there. And the next day we were recording and my voice was like completely blown out. And we were recording similarly, like just with the mics, but it wasn't like track by track. And so I was able to get through one song, and that was the song Bottom of the Lake. And that was the only take that we kept from that day, because after that, my voice was just done. Hmm. But Yeah, I could play a show, and then I have to wait a week before I could play a show again because I'd completely ruin my voice from those. Do you want to talk about your banjo secrets?
I just tune it like a bass, like what I guess it's technically two steps up. So it's like a really high-pitched like bass guitar. And like when Adrian left, there was a banjo void, and I had one. So I was like, fuck, okay. So I just tuned it like a four-string bass, and I just kept with it. And then after a while, I was starting to like be really self-conscious about it. And I was really self-conscious about it. I'm like, fuck, I'm in, you know, people play banjo like really good now, and I'm just like, oh god, maybe I should learn how to play it. And I learned all the songs on normal banjo, and it just didn't sound right. So I was like, all right, man, I guess I'm a innovator.
Mm-hmm. Or a D-innovator.
D-innovator.
Corner cutter.
A corner cutter. Yes. That is, in fact, what I am.
No, you've,
but that's
you've
not what
created
I say.
Your own style at this point.
Yes, I have. I'm owning it now. Yes. I'm trying to be really confident about my owning of my banjo. I'm actually an okay banjo player.
No, I never said you weren't, but other people have.
Yeah. I know. When I'm at home, I play regular banjo a lot, but not for the band.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, getting that booking agent was probably a first big stab. Yeah.
That was the only thing. That was the whole reason we were able to do anything, I feel like.
I think we would still be playing in Portland if we didn't have him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd still just be in town having a fucking good time. But then he came along, and now we're opening for like Brand New and Nas.
Yeah, he got us a show opening
for Nas. That fucking
happened.
What?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
2009 or 10.
Nas?
So it's weird.
That is so random.
Hang on. It's crazy. Not like we opened up for Nas. We played at
a
college
like
event
like
that he happened
to. Like a rock the vote thing.
In fact, it was 2008 shit. Because it was the Obama election
right.
was happening.
So like, the weird thing to me is we did like maybe five shows with Brand New. And I like Brand New.
Already weird, though.
Already weird,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then they call us up again. They're like, what's up, dude? You want to go back out on tour with us? We're like, what the fuck?
Again? With
again?
You guys?
So we ended up doing another tour with them with Brand New and Manchester Orchestra. And
Thrice on a couple of those shows?
Yeah, Thrice did play a couple of those. I don't know if this is anyone else's wheelhouse, but this is I got into that shit for a while.
That's
but,
like, what is that? Emo?
It's the it's like the respectable emo.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The, like the deep emo.
It's
screaming emo.
We didn't open up for like
screamo.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. No, I've never heard that term.
I still don't understand, and I
don't
think I'll ever will. I like moved to Portland, and I was like, all my friends are into this weird music where it's just like screaming, and like girl jeans. Like, I really literally wanted to call it a band Screaming Girl Jeans,
screaming
and it would have done
jeans.
Well. And
that's any consolation. I was not into that stuff.
I listened to everything, literally like everything, and like there's some good shit.
That first Screaming Girl Jeans EP.
Oh man, Bleeding Hearts Unite. Yeah, great album.
That's
great album.
It's fucking awesome.
No,
what happened was this: we were on a tour with Brand New, and one of the shows was a college show, and it was a Rock the Vote event. And so events
in the stadium where the basketball.
Yeah, where Michigan State basketball plays.
Like yeah,
it was huge.
So it was for 10,000 people, and we're
there was
like
a jumbotron.
We're a band that plays for 100 people, and that's like an amazing show. I'm like, 100 fucking people came tonight.
At that show, I remember we set up all of our gear on the stage and we did our sound check, and we're like, all right, we're the first openers. And then I went all the way to the back of the stadium, went up to the top balcony, and like looked down at the stage, and our gear just looked like a pile of garbage.
Well, it
just
looks like a pile of garbage.
It already does,
up.
Yeah, because we play like broken drums and shit, but like. It was so tiny.
Yeah.
The stage was so massive. We had these little amps and tiny little broken drums. It just looked like a pile of garbage.
Well, my favorite memories
so
of that
funny.
Was I kind of sit in the back and like watch everyone play while I play because that's just how I roll. Like, and I remember like I was doing my thing and I was sitting in the back and I was playing and I look to my right because I see a big ass TV and there I am like
jumbo
40
RV.
Feet tall.
On the TV. Yeah.
I'm like, oh fuck, hide. Where do I run?
Yeah.
Where do I run?
And then wherever you run, the camera guys like follow you.
No.
They're like, I'm a sad boy.
You gotta step back out into the light. Nobody can see you.
Yeah. He's like, everybody on this tour is in an emo band. You're not special.
Hey, also remember how all of the members of Brand New had skateboards and we would show up at these big venues and they would all skate around inside the
That rules.
That looked so fun. I know. I was like, where's our skateboards?
Wait, we did that at the Hollywood Palladium.
Didn't we get like things?
No, you bought those wheelie things.
Harvey
bought me a pair of these wheels that you can attach to your sneakers.
Like you
wheel around on your heels. And I remember, at the Hollywood Palladium, just like.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was so stupid.
I wasn't going to try it, but I was like, oh my God, that looks fun as shit.
It's like skateboarding, but much more terrible.
Yeah.
I will say this about those shows. That kind of, like, there's a lot of bands that I've talked to who are like small and then they get asked to go out on like a huge tour and you think like now we're playing to 5,000 people a night. We were playing to 50, and so our growth is going to be exponential, and the opposite happens most of the time, because when you're a band that's used to playing clubs, like whatever you're doing generally doesn't translate to 5,000 people.
No.
And everybody who's there really just wants to see that band that they paid a shitload of money to see. At a club, people are like, I'm here and I'm drunk and I'm having a good time and I don't really give a shit because tickets were $10.
Our bread and butter.
That's right. But at those shows, it felt like a handful of them were good, but most of the time, and I've talked to a lot of other bands about this too, where they're like, go and open for Coldplay, and it like sucks. It sucks to be the band opening.
But then also, some of your DIY punk fans kind of they're like, oh, you guys do like selling out.
Yeah, that whole thing.
They think
too.
It's lame and
like cool. You came through Minneapolis at the fucking whatever the Ford Arena.
Right? Yeah, and they're like, I'm not gonna go see you guys. You know, I'm not gonna pay $60 or whatever to go see you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, that first Brand New tour is the first time I think we've ever got booed.
Yeah, we got booed.
We got booed.
For sure.
Oh, yeah? What? Do you not remember for what?
Ryan was saying a lot of racist stuff.
It was mostly racism. It was also sexism.
Oh, okay.
He was like, kept speaking against campus safety. Like,
fuck safe spaces.
Trigger warnings are bullshit.
This was before any of those things.
That's true.
Were a thing.
We've never heard that.
No, we got booed strictly because of our music, not because of my shitty personality.
Like, were you guys messing up, or was it just like the crowd?
No,
wrong style of music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
pubes. Pubes
moves on.
That actually brought up a question. I have a two-part question. One thing I'm going to hopefully we'll come back to. I think we probably will. So I'll dive into this. I'll dive
not
into
with
this
our
other
fucking
thing,
tangents.
Which is like so the tour for Brand New 2008. You guys started as a band in 2005.
Yeah.
So like, was that your first tour? What was yours first tour?
No, that was like three or four in.
Our first tour was opening for the Helio Sequence going down California.
And then
Great Dudes.
Langhorne Slim was the next
one. And then Langhorne Slim, and then
that was the
like
first
Kevin's full Wedding.
US
you
tour.
Know, we did Langhorne Slim.
Kevin's Wedding was the same as a Brand New tour, because I met you guys up in Ohio.
Yep.
Kevin is our booking agent, for those who don't know who Kevin is.
I think he was, right?
He was.
Past tense.
He's now just a friend.
A friend of the band. Yeah. Okay, so I heard Helio Sequence, then Langhorne Slim, then Brand New?
And then Murder by Death. Yeah. But the big one though that year was Amanda Palmer.
Oh yeah.
Amanda fucking Palmer.
I made more friends on that tour than I have on any other tour.
It was a friend.
That one was a marathon too. Mm-hmm. And
5.5 weeks.
So Canadian shows too. Mm-hmm. Like,
so what do you think happened? Like, can any of you guys put a finger on it of like, you know, even the Helio Sequence, I feel like at the time at like 2006 is when you went on the road with those guys?
2007.
Yeah.
2007. I mean, their album was out
at that point for like, their album before that was out like, I think in a year before. Mm-hmm. So they were like kind of doing like a catch-up tour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So even West Coast for them, that must have been kind of small, but they were a relatively like well-known band.
Yeah.
Like I had heard of them.
They were solid medium.
It was 200, 300 people a night.
Yeah.
Shows.
And so that was through your guys' booking agent. Yeah. The reason that you guys got that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with everything else that you did.
Yeah.
So what do you, do you know, like, was it ever explained to you, like what you guys were doing that they were like, yeah, we want to start putting you on all these tours with some of these, you know, bands that are going to be playing in larger venues. Like,
sure.
Yeah, it was the drumming.
I mean,
actually, to be fair, Chris Funk, who produced one of our records, he did say, because we were like, how did you find us? We were so confused. We're like, how
is... That's Chris Funk of the Decemberists.
Of the Decemberists, yeah. And we're like, how is somebody from, like, this, my favorite band, like, talking to me at all? And he was just like, yeah, I had some friend of mine was like, yeah, you got to check out these drummers. They're really weird. Yeah. And, like, that was the thing that he was like, you got to... So
that's always
so
been the
that's
thing.
The whole thing.
No. Yeah, so that's 100% of the reason.
100%.
I think that, like, when... I think... that it's always a soup of things are the reasons. I think that when you have like a booking agent who has connections and is motivated and a manager that has connections is motivated, and then you have a band that has a buzz, it's like if all those things can coalesce at the same exact time and the right connections happen and then enough of those connections happen, that's when like you kind of can get over the hump and now we're in a position to where we can kind of control our destiny a little bit. And I don't consider us having gotten to there, but I do feel like there, you know, it's, we just did some good shows in the East Coast and had some sold out Portland shows. And it's been a thing that's lasted, number one, because of all those tours and all that kind of early work and records and a lot of hard work. But number two, for whatever reason, I mean, like it's, the quality of people that I meet that listen to the band is like incredible. Like they're the nicest.
Yeah, that's a
fucking ridiculously amazing people. And they're like not a style of person. They're not a scene. They're just like individuals that like the band.
They're just sort of like, I don't know. They're it seems like our fans are kind of, I know this is so stupid to say, they're kind of really real, you know, like, they're not like fleeting.
They're not.
It
in,
seems like
they're not in like a scene. They're not like
yeah.
Scene,
they're just like
kids.
Dudes who just want to fucking dance to death.
There isn't like shitty people at a. I mean, like there, of course there is everywhere, but like
Punishers.
Yeah, Punisher. But like I literally like love 99% of the people I meet at the shows. Like, and I'm really happy to meet them.
People
I feel
are
very grateful.
Authentic for sure. I also like being sort of, I like being a medium-sized band because we have so many more fun, weird things happen to
us.
Yeah,
totally.
It's like all of these Tour Punisher stories, bringing it back. Totally. we wouldn't have these stories if we were like very comfortable and we spent all of our time on a bus or backstage at some big venue not talking to people.
Or at
like we play at a lot of places where there's no green room and you're just there and you have to talk to people. And sometimes they're punishy and drunk and sometimes not. Sometimes, I don't know, it's great. I love it. It's exciting.
Yeah, totally. Which tour has been your favorite tour and why?
Oh, that is a really hard question. Because I have favorite tours for different reasons.
Well, one that just jumps out to you that's like, that was either a great time or like, I thought, did we lose your cans?
Yeah.
We lost your cans!
No can do. I'm a no can dude. Hello.
There's so many jokes.
That was pretty good. Can you write down that one too? The no can dude is getting another
I'll write
vote.
Down that I'm going to cut it out.
Yeah, that's all good.
But I think the most fun I ever had on a tour was pretty much any tour with Damien Sumi. Mm-hmm. Those were the tours that I left thinking that, wow, I'd made like some freaking friends, like some real, like solid friends. And I talked to a lot of them still. So the Damien Sumi tour with Murdered by Death was fucking fantastic. And then when we did the headlining and they opened, that was weird because Ray was gone for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then Ian from Damien Sumi had to fill in. That ended up being kind of cool. Like, he came to Alaska with us, too, in the show. So he, like, some of this Florida kid, we're like, hey, you want to go see a moose? And we, like, drove around his neighborhood. Like, there's one right there. He's like, what the fuck?
You could find him that easily?
Yeah.
It's not, you got to know where to go.
Did you go on that drive with us?
You got to call him in.
We're like, hey, let's go look. Yeah, we were driving around with Ian, and, like, we're like, let's go find a moose. And we went over by Kincaid. And like we drove in this neighborhood to like get to somewhere, and then there was a moose lying in this chick's yard, and it was just his mind.
You found one.
Nice. It was so quick too. It was ridiculously quick.
Those guys, I was on half of that tour. The reason I wasn't on the other half is because
this is a good story.
This is a great story. Oh, no, hold on. Right,
I very accidentally fell off a train and broke my feet. And
you've told us about this.
Yeah, so I flew home with broken gams, and then Ian filled in on drums for the rest of the tour. But I was there for, like, that tour was, I was at least more than half of it, right? It was just the California.
Where'd you fly home? Because I remember.
Wichita.
You flew home from Wichita.
Yeah.
Because I remember driving all around Wichita looking for.
Wheelchair.
Thank you guys. New feet.
And then me.
You sell feet here?
And then me and David and Gavin like gave up at some point and went to Guitar Center.
We're just like, hey, there's a guitar show. Yeah.
Do you still feel FOMO? Do you have post-traumatic FOMO from that tour still?
What's FOMO?
Fear of missing out, dude.
Oh, no. Dude, I wasn't sad at all.
You were just still sick?
About that. I was so sick.
Because your stomach was coming through your throat and your asshole?
And everywhere. It was so fucked up. I literally thought I was going to die. I don't have the... Not...
I can't.
He can't.
I'm a no-can dude.
Harvey keeps unplugging his cans unintentionally. I wish that we had a live feed.
Oh, man.
Video.
We'd break you over the coals.
Fuck. So, yeah, I don't feel like I was happy that the dudes got to continue the tour. Like, I'm not a... I literally don't... I'm not touting myself as better than anybody or whatever. I don't have a jealous... thing.
Sure, but are there inside jokes that still happen from that tour that you don't know about?
Not really. You could tell.
Sorry.
I mean, was that the tour that?
There was. Remember, Raccoon Face.
Oh shit! Yeah. Oh my god,
Raccoon Face.
Raccoon
Face.
Hello, I'm Raccoon Face.
Oh my god,
dude, that was
good.
Yeah,
classic.
That's a fuck you guys. That's not true.
they had me for a second too. They had me for a second.
Although,
yeah,
I'll tell you one that I half saw happen but didn't see the full thing was Anal Arsenal 6.
Oh shit!
Was that in Europe?
No, that was Denver.
That was.
I always tell the story.
Before explaining it.
Hold on.
We just like, remember Anal Arsenal 6? We're not going to tell you what that is. We're just going to.
Should I?
Please. Lay it down.
That's what this is
That's
for.
What this is all right, about. Yeah,
this, all right, this we had a.
This will be the part where so I add sound.
We had a previous member of the group, No Names Given, who
his name was No Names Gibbons.
Yeah, No Name Gibbons. His parents were comedians.
He's a monkey.
So we played this show in Denver. I want to say it was the Bluebird.
Bluebird, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and next to the Bluebird was an adult film store.
Emporium.
An Emporium.
That's so classy.
And and our member purchased many a pornography video there. And then so we were in Aspen and I was just like, hey, you know, I can rip that on my computer real quick and put it on your iPod so you can watch it for fucking some reason. He doesn't
There was
need
a DVD in the magazine.
No, it was a DVD.
He just bought a DVD.
Yeah, there were DVDs.
Yeah,
like three or four
dude,
DVDs.
I tell the story wrong the whole fucking
yeah, no.
whatever.
So anyway. What, his computer
this is
didn't
why we have people like
no,
Harvey
he
on
didn't have a computer.
He didn't have a way to play a DVD.
So I thought
so you were gonna
so
rip it.
So I was
it.
Like, and I just bought this computer in Connecticut. I think it was the same tour. I bought like a Mac, and I'm like, hey, I can rip that down and put it on your iPod so you can watch it. And he's just like, oh fuck yeah. Seriously?
That's the great impression.
So
he was on South Park.
So we were in. So I swear it was Aspen, but no, I remember it was the Keating sister, one of the Keatings, Zoe Keating, asked me what the hell I was doing, and I was like, I'm trying to get a porno out of my DVD or my computer. So I put it in my computer to like rip it down to turn it into like a iPod compatible file, and I did it, and then the DVD didn't come out of my computer. So the whole tour, I'm walking around with this computer with Anal Arsenal 6 in it, and it would pop up. It was like the the little like DVD icon, and underneath it says
open it.
"Anal Arsenal 6." I'm like, oh fuck! So
like, I know, stop.
I know, quit
I
it.
I know what you are.
And it was like a brand new computer at this point. So I'm like, Jesus, what am I supposed to do? So I get home and I'm really reluctant. I'm just like, fuck, I gotta do it, dude. I gotta do it.
I gotta take it to the Genius Bar.
I go to the Mac store. I like set it on the computer. I set it on the counter, and he goes, and I planned it out. I was just gonna own it. I'm like, listen, I got a porno stuck in there, right? Because they're gonna
why
see
hide?
It.
Yeah,
yeah. So I set it down on the counter. He's like, what seems to be wrong with it? And I go, there's a porno stuck in it. And he says, what?
Like a magazine?
Which is always the response of somebody who's heard you the first time.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like,
just say it again, would you?
So I say, I have a porno stuck in my computer. And he goes, okay, all right. And I was like, and I would like it out. And he goes, okay, cool. All right. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, really straight face. I'm just like, I'm owning it. And I left out of there a little bit proud. I just like went to it, you know? And he calls me like a week later. He's like, all right, come on in. Everything's taken care of.
It took a week?
Yeah, it was like a week.
Jeez.
And I walk in there and I'm like, okay, I'm here to pick up my computer. And he hands me my laptop. And he goes, oh, and here's this back. And he slides it face down on the counter. And I just go, right, so I took it home.
You're like, I don't even want this, but I'll take it.
So what makes it worse is I'm just like, all right, I got to watch this now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I put it in. It was the most misogynistic, violent.
Of course it was.
Anal shit. I'm just like, no. And I like broke it in half and I threw it away. I felt dirty.
Did it get
for like
stuck
a month.
In your computer again?
Yeah. And then you
immediately
stuck in
put
there
it
again.
Back in there?
No. It wasn't the typical romantic anal shit.
No, it wasn't. You know, when they're like, yeah, I'm just like, you want to cuddle and anal? But no, that was the Anal Arsenal story, and it was yeah, it was one of my favorites.
It's a good one. You do tell that one wrong.
I do. I always melded into being in Germany, where the porn is ranked 1, 2, and 3 star.
No, yeah,
emotion.
You're combining. Yeah, you're combining the emotion.
The emotion.
This is 5-star emotion. Shit.
5-star emotion.
Oh. Yeah.
Is that? That's a whole other tangent. I'm not going to ask you a question. All right. So then I want to flip it. If you guys didn't see this coming already, of what's in your mind, it could either be the worst tour date that comes to mind, like the one date. Actually, let's just do that. Let's switch it up. What's like the one show or like one stop in a city? Maybe you didn't even play there. Maybe it was like a place that the fucking van broke down. But what's like one stop that you can think of that you just hated and why?
So I have two here real quick, and I know this. So date, very first tour, Lawrence, Kansas. Literally no one in there. I think it was the bartender and three dudes drinking.
Yeah. I remember you were like, what should we do? And I was pissed off.
And you fucking snapped at me.
And I was like, what am I, a fucking magician? Or yeah. I think I said those exact words.
And I think I might have just been asking you, like, what are we playing next?
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, because I was all pissed off. Because there was nobody there. Sorry.
No, yeah. So, and then the two worst. The worst tour for me personally was RX Bandits.
RX Bandits also for me.
Fucking, it was just that was the worst tour ever. We did not belong. Good dudes. I still talk to Steve and Roger.
Sure.
It was the worst people. Like these people. I mean, no offense, RX Bandits fans. And
except that you're
the worst.
No, I don't want to say that because if we do have someone that went to those shows that were like, wow, I went to the show, saw this band. I realized anyway. Those were really bad for me. And also a good chunk of the Manchester Orchestra shows.
Sure.
And like it was to the point where I had to start before shows I was listening to like Lamb of God to get stoked.
Yeah.
I was like trying to just get pumped as much as I could because I wasn't getting anything on stage. Like I wasn't feeling anything from the crowd. So RX Bandits was probably the worst tour. I feel like we got along though, really good on that tour because I think we had a like
we
solidarity.
Had we had
like
to.
All right, guys, it's us versus them, like sort of well, thing.
Yeah, we all got along. It was just that the shows were so awful.
Yeah, and I think honestly, like some of the most times when we don't get along, the tours are probably doing good, but like, you know, there's that you're stuck in a van with these dudes for a month at a time and we get pissed at each other. That tour, we all got along, but it was so hard to play with those people.
Yeah.
So hard to play with those people. And they were all pretty good dudes. It just didn't work. Yeah. Actually, I think one of my favorite shows was on that tour was at the, that place in Minneapolis that's not.
Oh, yeah. I
the
can't
Triple
remember.
Rock?
It's not the Triple Rock.
Are you sure?
It is the Triple Rock.
Yeah, the one that NoFX sung about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We played there. I thought that was a pretty cool show because I got stupid drunk afterwards with one of the dudes in that band. Yeah, those are my worst. The Manchester Orchestra shows were pretty hard for me. Like, I had to try to get stoked any other way possible because it wasn't happening on stage.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Ray, you said the RX, what are they called?
RX Bandits.
RX Bandits. I don't know them. was also similarly not a great tour for you.
Yeah. RX Bandits were, back in the day, they were kind of a ska, you know, band that a lot of, like, teenage punk kids listened to. And so moving to the album that they were touring on, that particular tour was they decided to kind of change up their sound and be a little bit more, like,
psychedelic.
Reggae, psychedelic, jam band-y.
Dubstep?
They got rid of their horn players, and they got more, like, techie and mathy and stuff. And I thought that shit was way cooler, but their fans weren't ready to
take that journey.
Yeah, they did not want to go there. So, yeah, like, I mean, they had a bad tour, too, because even their fans that came to see them were pissed off that they weren't playing the old ska stuff.
I have a fun – I lived with this dude when I first moved to Portland. I lived with this guy – well, I didn't live with him. I fucking slept in his basement without his permission, really. And he was a huge RX Bandits fan. And I saw him at, like, Fred Meyer, like, maybe a year after that tour, and I'm like – hey, I thought of you, man. I thought of you when I went on this tour with RX Bandits. I thought of you immediately. He's like, were they playing that new shit?
It was so visceral.
He was so pissed.
It was like worse than when Dylan went electric. Like, that's how the RX Bandits shit was received.
I liked Dylan Electric.
No, I'm saying, but fans of the folk shit hated it, like, with violence. Like, that's, like, we got spit on at shows. But their fans were like, fuck these guys.
At those shows?
Yeah, we got spit on and, like, yelled at. And, like, the shittiest kind of shit. And
teenage fucking girls and their phones. If you're going to stand in the front row.
Yeah.
If you're going to stand in the very front row with your arms on the stage, don't. Come on.
Well, I closed. A girl was, like, texting on her phone, on her flip phone, and I fucking closed it with my foot. That was, like, kind of like, if there's a moment that kind of summed up that tour.
Yeah.
It was us trying to make the best of a horrible.
There's a GIF of you. It's just like a little GIF animation.
Did you say GIF or is it? It's not GIF.
Oh my god!
Is this a thing?
A GIF is a fucking peanut butter, bro.
It's choosy computer programmers choose GIF. Man, we're not talking about
okay,
this.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so there's a GIF of Ryan closing a girl's phone back when phones used to close.
Yeah.
And I think the same show, I threw a water bottle at some dude. Because, like, these kids would, like, they would get their spot right up front for the headliners, and then they would face away from the stage, so they would be facing their backs towards
it was
you,
fucking
and
bad.
They would be on their phones. Oof. So I threw a water bottle at this kid's phone, and knocked his phone, like, into the crowd, and, like, he got all mad. And I remember I was already pissed off at that show because we showed up, we had traffic, we were late, so we had to do the load-in while there was people there.
Yeah.
So we had to, like, you know, fucking clamber through the crowd and then set up while they were watching us, and they already decided that they hated us, so they were, like, booing us while we were sound checking.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Like, it was just the absolute worst. I don't remember what city or what day that was, but
San Antonio, Texas.
But Ryan,
and they were
remember.
Out of beer.
yeah. And then
there have been shitty shows for different reasons. I love the, like, we're late and it's horrible. Like, I love the, like, we're barely able to get on stage because we're so late, and we make it, and the show's fucking amazing feeling.
That's a good one.
It feels like you fucking did magic. Like, it feels like you teleported there going 90 miles an hour, and then you somehow had a good show. It feels so much more gratifying than, like, just a good show.
Or Lawrence, Kansas, same venue.
Oh, dude.
Where we all almost died.
Was that the heat stroke one where I, like, lost my memory?
No, nope. That's a different show.
Different show.
No,
different.
That was the same one.
That was Lawrence.
The show I was talking about was the one opening for Murder by Death when we almost died because of the ice on the road.
No, 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 dude. I was talking about Heatstroke.
Oh.
That was with Ray.
Lay down the Heatstroke.
You guys are doing Fire and Ice right now.
Woo! Fire and Ice!
Which one's more deadly?
I was with Ray. Like, okay. We went into the... We loaded out in the alley. We managed to get everything off the stage. And I laid down, like, on concrete.
Yeah.
I think you did, too.
It was 120 degrees.
Yeah, I blacked out on stage. I don't remember even getting off the stage.
Humidity was probably, like, if... Oh, my God. Humidity was... Had to have been 90s.
When everyone cleared out of the venue, there was an inch of water. It was just sweat.
It was the worst.
Standing sweat.
The AC had broken and the fan had also broken. And it was like the middle of summer
and it was
Kansas.
Yeah.
Oh my
it was
God.
Fucked up.
It was a fun show, though.
Punishment.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
No, that was fun. But also in Lawrence, Kansas, another time, we had to drive, a really long drive, over like fucking ice skating rink kind of highway, and I'm not like, this is not an exaggeration, we had a little trailer on this van and there was a stretch of about a mile
in Iowa
where I was literally just driving sideways, like the van was sliding sideways down the highway and I was trying to keep us out of the ditch.
I remember that really well because I was driving and like things were okay, and then Ryan, you're like, "We need to switch," or "I need to switch," or something. You got in the driver's seat, and then we were doing like all over there. And I think that was also when we had to crank the heat up,
yeah,
because ice was forming on the windshield as we were driving. And you guys were in the back, like, "Turn the fucking heat down!"
Like, "Fuck you, we're gonna die!
Fuck you, we're about to die!"
I remember, yeah, like when we were fishtailing, like the back of the van would shoot to the right, and then like the trailer would pull it back the other way.
The trailer was the only thing keeping
the trailer
van
was
straight.
Like, yeah, it was like a rubber band. It would just go back and forth, and the trailer was like a counterweight. So it was the only thing that kept us.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it wasn't even like icy for. It just came out of nowhere. Just suddenly,
yeah,
we're on
it was
ice.
Like really.
Speaking of icy shit and shows, I want to hear your version of the college try.
Oh, my version of college try. With added hurt feelings?
Whose feelings got hurt?
Which college?
Bonus feelings.
Okay,
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis
college try.
Okay, so we were playing at...
400 Bar.
400 Bar, yeah. I have the shirt at home and I just couldn't fucking think of it. And we were opening... for
Hootie and the Blowfish.
No way, really?
No,
but it was like Booty and the Flowfish.
Yeah.
Sure.
Everyone at that place is great, and I'm so sad it's gone. We were playing for this band, and it was so fucking bad, and I'm just like, I think at some point we just looked at each other and we're like, we have to leave, but all our shit was like in this weird part of the bar, and there was a door there, but we couldn't, like, they said don't open it.
They
but
said
I think
don't
that,
open the
I
door.
Think they just said, what I heard was, hey, maybe just don't use that door. When in fact it was okay, so we tried to open this door and it was like really closed. I'm like, shit, okay. Well, it looks like let's just give this the old college try.
Well, and just to back up your story, it's like 20 below zero.
Oh,
outside.
Yeah, it's 20 really below cold. Zero, lots of ice. I'm like, let's just give it the old college try. And I just go for it
with his shoulder
and I break the door off the hinges. In 20 below weather, so this door is like not functioning as a door.
The door anymore. Falls out like a trap door off the club, like a.
Poof. So I fucked this door up, and I'm like, "Well, we're never playing here again." And I guess the hurt feelings part comes in because, assuming that everyone that was there was in on that joke, Paul did something, and oh God, I can't fucking remember what he did. But I said, Jesus, Paul, didn't you go to college? And then, like, I did it, like, as, like, an old college try. And he got fucking, like, really sad about it.
He got his
feelings hurt really bad. He's like, whoever doesn't think I went to college? But I'm like, no, I was referring to the college try. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had to explain it later. And things got better.
I didn't even know that part.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Ever since then, our inside joke is if you need to give something the old college try, it means throw your body into it and destroy, destroy it.
Flail at it with all
flail
your might.
Just break it.
Anytime you need to break something, that's given at the old college
I
try.
I did feel bad. It did actually, like, that door just fucking,
at,
like.
As we were, we
ended up loading out that door anyway.
We were loading out. Yeah.
We needed to get the fuck out of there really fast.
We're like, oh, shit, sorry.
And then we're like looking down and just driving away as the dudes in the club are like fitting the door back onto
the
club.
We were driving away as they were just like, how the fuck are we going to keep this on?
Oh my God.
But we then went on to play that place probably another four times, five times.
At least. Yeah.
Great. We played a Connor Oberst after party there one time.
Oh yeah.
That was incredible.
Forgot about that.
He was fucking blacked out.
I didn't see him. I was looking for him.
Yeah, he was.
I was hanging out with the Minnesota girls.
The guys were like, if this goes well, you know, ask you to open for him on a tour. And I was like, he's not gonna fucking come on. He's not even gonna like us.
Yeah, that's the college try story.
And they got a new door, so
that
door was so
insurance
great.
Insurance and shit
every other time.
Insurance.
one time a cheap bottle of tequila and some weed punished Harvey, and he went into the hotel bathroom.
I
did not smoke the weed.
That was a
you
good
didn't. It was
night.
Just the tequila.
All tequila.
So he just went into the hotel bathroom, and then he came out, and he had shaved the whole middle portion of his beard off, and then he just had this weird leftover, and he had a really long beard at the time, so it was like inches of like jowls.
Like Mastodon's sixth member.
He was like, hey, what do you guys think? And we were like, oh my God, we're so sorry.
And, nice job.
My first instinct was to apologize for your
decision.
That was was that Pepe Lopez?
Probably.
Anyway. We were in Minnesota.
May have been worse.
It was
than
Wisconsin.
No, Wisconsin. It was Madison. Mm-hmm. And we were already quite drunk. And Ryan's friend packed us a emergency,
like
bad time,
like
kit.
when shit hits the fan on tour. And open this box.
Yeah, so we opened the box.
What kind of shit had hit the fan?
It was a lot. We'd been on the road a long
time.
No,
actually, we opened it because we were having a fun party night.
Yes,
remember, we're like, hey, fuck opening this when we're sad. Let's see what's in here.
Fucking A. You're right.
Yeah. So we opened it up. There was a bunch of
coconut water.
There was games. Like she bought these little electronic travel games
and fake plastic noses. Yeah,
whose funny. Friend was it?
My friend.
His friend Nancy.
My friend Nancy.
Her complete name.
Can we get her full name? No.
Also in the box was a bottle of the cheapest tequila.
Like this is $6.99 tequila.
It's like if you went to like Walmart and bought like one of those gift sets.
Yeah, it was a gift set. It was a gift set.
Yeah,
it came with
little shot glasses, and it was just like some off-brand. No one had ever heard of this brand of tequila, and it was.
So you guys were like, here, Harvey, you drink this.
Yeah.
At that point, I remember that night really well because we were in Madison and there was a local brew, a microbrew there that was made from black pepper.
Ooh.
And it was so fucking good. And I had like seven of them and I was like gone. And then they added tequila to it. And then I added tequila to that. And then you guys all went to
I did not.
You guys all went to the bathroom, whatever, and I was just drunk, and I'm just like, oh, I'm done, and I like, and just shaved my chin. Just
We were smoking weed in the bathroom. It was like a Motel 8. We had put a bunch of towels under the door.
Turn the fan on.
And me and Paul were like laying in the bathtub with our clothes on, just with no water, smoking weed in the bathtub. Just like the most scumbaggy shit you could possibly
Well, imagine. I could think of other drugs that happen in the bathroom.
Yeah. That wasn't pretty scumbaggy. That just sounds kind of fun. But no, I did not smoke that marijuana. But yeah, I did get super drunk, shaved my chin, called my wife immediately and apologized.
for being married to her.
It was funny. It didn't grow up. It didn't grow back for like a month and a half.
Yeah, it was pretty bare.
It was pretty bare. And I think at that tour too, I adopted the red hat from Wichita.
That's right.
So I had this like real hick thing going on.
So we were on tour with Langhorne Slim, and his whole thing is like his hat.
Yeah, he's got
hats.
He's
a hat guy.
He's like sponsored by Stetson, isn't
and
he?
So we, so
oh
we
God, were, is he really?
Yeah, pretty
so
sure.
We like, so we bought hats for some reason.
Of course
we're
he
like,
did.
That's how it got to be.
In New York.
To be in like a
right?
big band, you got to like have a hat.
We went hat shopping in New York City.
Yeah, we went to a fucking hat shop in New York and buy hats like a bunch of idiots. Like a bunch of fools.
Oh my god,
that guy's great. Hats hurt. This doesn't matter to the podcast or band shit.
Who do they hurt?
Hats.
Hats hurt what, children. Hats
what did hurt, the hat do to you?
Hats hurt Hope. They hurt it.
Point at the doll. Tell us where the hat hurt you.
Right on the head. Right on the head of the doll. No, hats hurt my hair. If I wear a hat for more than a couple hours,
your hair can
my
feel.
Hair, what? My like.
Who are you?
Your hair has feelings.
No, like my scalp hurts because of hats.
Oh my god.
Anyway, who cares?
Maybe nope. See that.
Very few people.
Well, that's all I had. So.
So
you guys can see that's all I had.
I want to.
That's all I had. All right. Well, that's a wrap for this evening. If you're still listening live on the pod, we're going to sign off.
I like to think of someone trying to listen live, like starting in the middle. I just like scroll out in the middle and press play.
It wouldn't matter.
Probably not. Well, that's it, people. That's all we had. Oh man, I had to. I couldn't resist. What a great episode. That was really fun. Really good to hear about the Builders and the Butchers. I think Ryan, for any fans of yours or any people that see you at a show, basically they have inner inside information. That's a real thing. Inner inside information.
That's so like VIP behind VIP.
You're on the inner inside of
that's
the
right.
information. Well, but they know now that if you are wearing a hat, it's a real vanity choice because clearly your hair expresses pain in ways that other people's maybe do not.
I think I'm the only person in the world who we discovered that my hair has nerve endings.
I mean, I think hair follicles, like the roots do for most people, but man, yeah, you can really feel
all
your
the,
hair, I
all
guess.
All the way to the end of it.
Yeah, it was really fun. For anybody that are fans of the Builders and the Butchers, Ryan, you have any plugs that you want to get out there for
just,
the band?
Just hair plugs. That's it.
Website is buildersandthebutchers.com, I would assume, right? Is
it
that
is.
Correct? And they're on Facebook, Instagram, yeah. All that good stuff. You guys aren't on that snappy chatty, right?
No snap chant or chat or whatever that's called. That's for the kids. We're going to leave that to the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids will do it well.
The band dads will not abide.
No.
They will not
we'll
abide.
We'll just do it badly.
So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed episode 3. Stick around because we've got more episodes to come. This episode was produced by the two of us, Ryan Soley and Noah Dunham, as well as Ray Rude. Sound design and sound engineering were also done by Ray Rude, and original music. Any music that you heard today in the episode was also done by Ray Rude. And we have a big thanks to Harvey. What's Harvey's last name again?
Tumbleson.
Tumbleson. You had even a question mark on there.
Yeah.
I just like quizzed you in a way that you didn't appreciate. Big thanks to Harvey Tumbleson for his time and effort, you know, putting up with Ray and Ryan all these fucking years on the road. We recorded this episode in sunny Portland, Oregon at Open Signal, the Community Media Center. They're an awesome organization. You should check them out. Ryan, anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah, if you're in a band and touring, your parents are probably disappointed.
Your parents are disappointed in you.
Yeah.